Welcome again to the second week of the survey of the Bible that I call the 52 Greatest Chapters of the Bible. Bonnie and I have been recording. We're actually here in a remote studio and have already done three classes today. But I don't want those of you that are joining us in this year-long study through each of the key chapters of the Bible, I don't want you to miss a week. And so I'm going to give you a quick overview of the second week, and just to get you started, I've gotten so many notes from you saying that you're eager and ready and don't want to get behind. So that's what we're going to do. Look here at the slides, and as you look at the slide, you notice that we're in the second week of the 52 greatest chapters or passages in the Bible. It's Genesis chapter 3 that we're going to cover. And the title that I've given to this section is The Fall of Humanity, Satan's Playbook. In other words, looking at how he lured Adam and Eve into sin. And then my life, how to apply that to my life. Now, this is where we are, right here on the 52 key chapters, right here. We're on week 2. And Genesis 3 is the portion of Scripture, and the fall into sin and Satan's temptations. Now, some of you, you say that you want to know where to get this chart. You might be just joining us today. One place you can find it is right there on our Facebook site, the 52 Greatest Chapters of the Bible. Another place you can find it is if you go to our website, discoverthebook.org. And in both places, under resources at Discover the Book, or down in the upload section of Facebook, you can find it there. But this week one, we start in Genesis, and week two, we're now in Genesis chapter 3. Now, basically what I want to remind you is, as we go through this, the elements that you need are, of course, a journal. And this is just my plain old journal, and you can see I've already done. I'm in the midst of working through this week's study with you. It's what I do for my personal devotional time. And as I go through each of the sections, I write it down. And if you can see close enough, you can see different colors of ink, because whatever pen I have available, I'm working on it. Also, while we're working on this, I am taking notes on my Bible. So let me just help you see what's going on by looking at this slide. You can see the devotional method. That's how we're actually studying through the whole Bible, using the devotional method. The first thing I do, and I'm actually going to show you this in my journal, I write down a title. And I read the passage, and then I summarize in one sentence just what this chapter is about. Now, this is for me personally, and I'm titling every chapter of the Bible, okay? I already have done this. I constantly, as my daily Bible study, I read at least one chapter of the Bible, and I write down after I read it the title. Do this slide. After I do the title, then I jot in my Bible little marks, and I put arrows and underline stuff, noting as many lessons, truths, or doctrines as I can find. And I look at the MacArthur Study Bible, or you can use an online blue letter Bible, and I actually use Logos and have the MacArthur Study Bible as a part of Logos when I'm on the road. Then I write an application prayer. Now, you say, what is this journaling look like? Well, this next slide, I'd like to actually take you looking at my journal and to show you just how simple it is. So right here, I'll move the camera, and this is handheld, so don't get motion sick. But Genesis 3, my title is The Fall of Man. It's week 2, you see there. I write a summary. And this is, if there's more here than just a title, and I put Satan, sin, and death are introduced with the universe-wide impact, and then I see the promise of Christ. And then you notice I've jotted down all the lessons. Satan, can use neutral objects to carry out his deceptions. Satan wants to make us doubt God's word. Number three there, doubt God's goodness. Number four, doubt God's authority. Doubt God's plan. And you see, I just go through all this and then I write a prayer out. Lord, protect me from the evil one. Help me trust. And then I keep noting, like this is what I did when I had a little extra time and had my different color pen. I wanted to study more in depth about Satan, how he got to be the tempter there, temptation in general, what else the Bible says, sin, the types of sin, effects of sin. These are all things that came to my mind. Verse 15, I saw the gospel, so it just spurred me to say, I just want to study how God describes salvation. Clothing. God invented clothing in verse 21 of chapter 3. And then we see the cherubim. So those are just all parts of my journal. And so I typed this out so that it's easier for you to read because, you know, the shaky handheld there. But my title in the journal is The Fall of Mankind into Sin. My summary of this whole chapter, I wrote, there's the first mention of sin, and God, it's God talking to Cain about sin. And then it says in verse 7, sin desires to rule over us, but we should limit our giving into sin. We have a choice to rule over our spirit. Genesis 4:7 is a warning, don't let sin master you. Proverbs, I just jotted this because it reminded me of a verse and I looked it up. It was Proverbs 25:28. And it says that if you don't have any rule over your spirit, you are like a city broken down. You're giving in to sin's rule. Verse 8 has the first murder, first lie in verse 9. And this is interesting. God says the blood of those who have been murdered cry from the ground. Now, for just a second, think about what that means. It means anywhere in America that someone's been murdered, there is a constant cry to God for vengeance. Now, this is a little bit of what we see about the coming judgment that Revelation describes, that Jesus, you know, introduced himself as the one who's going to lead that judgment of every human being. They're going to stand in front of him and answer for their sin, except for those of us that Jesus has taken our sin upon himself and paid the debt for it on the cross. So sin is very powerful, and murder is something that God never forgets until the judgment of Jesus Christ on the cross erases the record of it. But look at this. These are the lessons. So I went all the way through in my journal and typed out 10 lessons. That's what I found. Just now, this is just one day, maybe 20 minutes to a half hour, looking at this chapter, jotting things down, marking them in my Bible, and then I'm typing out in verse 1, I saw moral relativism, doubting God's word. Verse 4, doubt God's authority. Satan said you're not going to die, and that leads to what we call the error of reincarnation. Doubting God's plan, Satan said your eyes will be open. Then I started noticing that guilt and sin bring a self-righteous response. Adam and Eve sowed fig leaves. Sin brings conviction, verse 8, they hid from God. It brings fear. They actually said that. We heard your voice and we're afraid. Sin brings blame. What's the first thing that goes on? Well, Adam said, well, the woman. And the woman said, well, the serpent. Then, wow, look at this. Sin brings consequences. There were struggles in Adam and Eve's perfect marriage. It resulted in pain and childbirth. For Adam, work became toilsome. Here's something. Do you remember they were created naked and were not ashamed? It said, and we saw that last week in chapter 2. But look at verse 21. After they fell into sin, they felt shame, and God ordained modesty. He said, I'm going to cover you. So actually, God invented clothing, and that's something I'm going to think about and study through this week. And then finally, sin brings separation from God. Now, next slide, here's my Bible. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually take you, and again, I apologize for this is chapter 3, and notice what it says. Now, the serpent And you see that I wrote right there in my Bible, Revelation 12:9, because that verse identifies the serpent in the Garden of Eden as Satan. And the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? Now look up here. I wrote in my Bible, Satan wants us to doubt God's word. And then later I thought about, that's kind of like moral relativism, that God can't have the last word on anything. And then, you shall not eat. You know, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And I wrote, doubt God's goodness. See what Satan did? He said, oh, God's trying to withhold something from you. He's not a loving God. Do you see what Satan's doing? Doubt the goodness of God. Doubt the very word of God. And then the woman answers, she adds a little bit, but of the fruit of the tree we shall not eat or touch it. It never says that God said that, but she added a little bit, and that's often a problem we have. Many people add to the word of God, didn't even know what God said, but, you know, kind of like Ben Franklin's sayings, you know, they say things God didn't say. But look at verse 4. Then the servant said to the woman, you will not surely die. Doubt God's authority. That is huge. I've been thinking about that all day. Also, this introduces Eastern religions, reincarnation. You know, we don't die, we just kind of cycle through. And I was starting to write ideas about that over there in the margin. But then it says, look what Satan says. For God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Wow. What Satan is saying is doubt God's plan. God knows that you're going to be like him, and his timing is off, you know, kind of get in a hurry and get ahead. But then verse 7, sin, they took the fruit and they sinned. So look at verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were, and here it is, naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Now look what I wrote there. Sin brings self-righteousness. You know, they're trying to cover up. And then I wrote in the top here, man only tries to cover the consequences, not the problem. They weren't saying that they disobeyed God. They're saying the consequences, they wanted to cover up their nakedness. And then look at this. Adam and his wife hid. Sin brings conviction, I wrote in my Bible. And he said, I heard the voice, your voice in the dark, in the garden, and I was afraid. Sin brings fear. Verse 12. And see, I have a highlighter with me. I have my pen with me. I always have my Bible. These marks, I mean, if you back up, look at all those marks all over in every page. Every time you come back to this page, you'll think of these things because you'll remember discovering them. So I'm a big advocate of marking your Bible. Then the blame game starts here in verse 12. She gave me of the tree, sin brings blame, I wrote. Now look at this. Here's the indictment. The Lord God said to the serpent, and verse 14 is, and 15, is God speaking to the serpent. And notice what happens in verse 15. And I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your seed, the serpent's seed, and her seed. Now this is a promise. This is called the proto-evangelium. I wrote that there. Because women don't have seed. This is a virgin birth promise. This is the first mention of the gospel. And basically what it says is, he shall bruise your head. Who is he? The seed of the woman. That's Christ. Christ is going to crush Satan's head, and you shall bruise his heel. So Jesus on the cross was destroying the devil as the devil was getting Jesus to be crucified. And remember, Paul said that if Satan would have known what was going to happen through that crucifixion, he would have not followed through. But he doesn't understand God's plan. Then to the woman, here's another element. And by the way, this is just a survey. This is just my first day looking at this. I'm going to look deeply into all these things. And I'll show you, you know, using the study Bible. In fact, I have my study Bible open right here. Look at this. There is my MacArthur study Bible where it talks about the serpent, the woman, don't touch it is an addition, See, all these things, you there's so much more you can do after you go through your initial discovery and getting it over here in your journal. So let me finish. Sorry again about this handheld portion, but to Eve, he says that I will greatly multiply your sorrow and conception and pain. You'll bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you. By the way, this isn't positive. This is part of the fall. And in future lessons, I'll talk about this. The whole conflict between husbands and wives is contained right here. Then verse 17, to Adam he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife and not and have eaten from the tree. Cursed is the ground, in toil you'll eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles come to the earth. By the sweat of your face you'll eat bread. In other words, work became toilsome and hard and grueling. For dust you are, to dust you shall return. Now look at some more. I mean, this is why it's one of the key chapters of the Bible. Verse 21, so Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. God ordained modesty, but also God showed them that the only way that they could be covered up is through the sacrifice of the life of an animal. You see, an animal had to die for them to get their clothes. And it's kind of like this substitute had to die to truly cover them up. So there's not just modesty here. There's kind of insight into the sacrificial shedding of blood. Now look at verse 24. So he, that's the Lord God, from verse 23, he drove out the man and placed cherubim. Remember, for further study, I wanted to study that. And a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. So that's sin is horrible. So that's looking at my Bible. And so that's what that slide means. Now, real quickly, tips on how to mark your Bible. And this is just my quick survey for you of this second week and all week long. By the way, I spend all week long working on this chapter. And you'll find out you can't exhaust, even if you work every day, you won't exhaust all that you're going to find in here. But why should we mark our Bible? And I'm going to explain that to you in just a second. Then I write a prayer. Remember over here in my journal? And I typed out what I wrote. Lord, sin wants to spring upon me and devour me. And that's actually looking at what continues to happen in chapter 4 and in verse 7. In fact, let me show you that, because I just, in my reading, I look down and let's get on that. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Chapter 4, verse 7. And if you do not well, sin lies at the door and its desires for you, but you shall rule over it. So sin is crouching like a wild lion and wants to spring on me and devour me. Now look at what I added in my notes. See, 1 Peter 5:8 says, Satan is like a roaring lion wanting to devour us. So that's this devour me. And chapter Genesis 4 and verse 7 is this spring upon me. But you said I should resist. And that's what it says in 1 Peter here. So by your grace, I want to say no to sin more often. And you say, wait a minute, what is this prayer? This is me. This is just, when I got done with my 25 minutes, I just reflected on it and wrote out a prayer, because I want to apply every day the Word of God to my life. I want to hear God speak to me. And so I said, Lord, by your grace, I want to say no to sin more often, because we struggle with sin every day. And I want to say yes to you all the time. I want to hear your voice. That's what happens every time you read the Word. I hope that you realize you're listening to God's voice. And I want to walk. Remember, Adam and Eve were afraid of the voice of God in the garden? That's because of sin. If we say no to sin more often, we more and more want to walk in fellowship with God every day. I worship you, my Creator and Redeemer. So, what are the long-term blessings of this devotional Bible study method? My Bible slowly gets marked up through daily study. Then it's time to copy the best of all the truths into New Bible. During my pastoral years, I had to copy my Bible every year. Now that I'm on the road and more electronic, it's about every 2 or 3 years. But I constantly want to keep the best of my lifetime of study. Every time I see my notes, kind of marked and noted in the margins and in these journals, it reminds me, it's a trigger to my memory. The result, every day in the Word stirs all that I've ever learned in a lifetime of study. That brings us to, this is the whole goal. And if you remember in the introduction to this entire 52-chapter study, I told you, this is the plan. When we study the Bible, your words are found. That's my devotional study time. Then I write them in my journal and begin the meditation process. That's me chewing and digesting them. This is what happens. Your word becomes the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's transformation. And then I grow in this. And this is the best part. I'm assured that I belong to the Lord. I'm assured of His love for me. I have His joy. It's supernatural. I rejoice. I'm called by His name. That's the ultimate identification. I want to identify with God. I want to know Him. I want to follow Him. And that all comes by starting to memorize. See, the bottom line with this is you study the Bible, you find great verses, and this is my current passage. I'm working on Titus 2, 1 to 8. I want to hear God's voice rumbling through my mind all the time, conform myself to His Word. See, I want to find His words, eat them. That's my daily devotions going through these 52 chapters. As I do that, He transforms me on the inside with joy and rejoicing. I get this deep, deep closeness, fellowship with God. I identify with Him. And then I pick the best of all the verses I've found. I take them on the back of my phone everywhere I go, and I just learn to share it. And that's why I'm a missionary. Bon and I, by the way, we're out of Pacific Rim. That's where we're teaching. I started this morning at 6:30. Now it's late in the afternoon. I'm trying to get this off to you because I want you to get an overview of the Bible. So week two, we're looking at Genesis 3, the fall of humanity, Satan's playbook, and what I need to do to protect my life. Well, before we go, let me just read this prayer and give you a challenge. And here's my challenge. I would encourage you to not be a solo Christian. In other words, a little island floating out there. I would encourage you to find someone. If you're going to go through this study with me and with everybody else that's in it, find someone to share what you're learning with. And actually, we're on the road and we travel 125,000 miles a year. COVID has slowed us down, but I mean, we're back on the road as much as we can be right now. I share these with my wonderful wife, Bonnie. She is my best friend. She's my wife, but she's my best friend. She's my spiritual partner through life in ministry, and I share these truths. So I would encourage you, after you do this week's overview, find someone and say, I have an assignment. I'm in this class. I'm surveying the whole Bible for 1 year. I'm looking at the key chapters. Could I read to you what I found? And can I read to you my application prayer? And actually, will you listen to me as I pray and ask God to do this in my life? You'll overwhelm them. Most people don't even know how to do devotional Bible study. Most people aren't asking the Lord to change them. Most people don't know how to find something in the Bible and to actually communicate it by way of prayer and to asking God to work in their life. So you, by finding a partner to share this with, are going to change someone's life. I, for about 2 years of my life, I had 36 men I met with every week, 10 small groups. Some were large, some were just me and one other fella, sometimes me and two other fellas, sometimes me and 10 fellas. But we went through this study, the 52 chapters. It was the most life-changing time in my life. And you know what every one of them, over the years I've heard back from every one of them, you know what they all said? That changed my life permanently. I never look on the Bible the same. I now look on the Bible as a mirror that I look at and say, God, this is what I want you to change in me. I want to look more like Christ today. Okay? Let's close this time by me praying from our shared study. We just did Genesis 3, and I'm going to pray this. So bow with me and listen to these words, okay? Bow your head and listen as I pray. Lord, I'm asking you to protect me from the evil one, especially here where we are. Help me, Lord. I want to trust and obey your voice. Don't let Satan make me doubt. Help me to know your goodness. Help me to bow to your authority, Lord. I want to follow your plan. Thank you for coming to seek and find me. Every time I fail you, most of all, for finding me and giving me salvation and paying my debt of sin. And thank you that you live within me. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to be posting more of the in-depth studies of the topics, like I wrote here, Satan, temptation, sin. But this is just to get you started with this initial going through this chapter. Just a quick half hour. Let's see how long. We're on our 26th minute of this video. So you see, the whole reading and writing and thinking, you can do it in less than a half hour, but find someone to share it with. God bless you. John Barnett, challenging you to get in the Word, write it down, chew it, meditate on it, identify with Christ, find the joy and rejoice in your heart, and then share it with someone.